I'd like to call tonight's special Board of Education meeting to order. On the agenda tonight, we have two items. One is a public hearing, and then the second is the first reading of the FY20 budget. So we'll get right into it. Thank you all for being here tonight. If there's anyone in the audience, including both sides, that would like to address the board at this time, the topic is the budget, so you would have to speak on that. As is true in our regular public forums, you would have 3 minutes to speak on that topic, and would ask you to come to the podium and give us your name and address, and then sign in with the same at the podium. So is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on to first reading of the FY20 budget. Before we have any discussion or comments, I'd like to get a motion on the floor for and a second for approval of the budget on first reading.
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. Agle, seconded by Mr. Stevens. Now, comments or questions from staff, Dr. Borchers?
Would you like, I have a few things I'd like to share to see if I could prior to more discussion. Some of this will be some repeat of what you've seen, but so I'll go through some of that quicker than others. But as we know, we've discussed our budget at length, and we went line by line on Monday, so we've had lots of discussions, lots of opportunities to go over that. We've talked about the BEP and where that headed this year, and yes, we had an increase, as we mentioned, but not going in the direction that we have been going, so that continues to be a concern for us. And then by balancing the budget, obviously we talked about using some of our fund balance. That was part of our discussion. And we had a great slide here from Pat on where this is heading if we continue to do this without additional revenues in the future. We also spent some time on capital projects and funding and the ESG work that has happened. And, you know, very excited about the preschool coming along and will hopefully be but next December or later moving into that facility. And the ESG updates that we were able to get have been a wonderful addition to our district. And these next slides, we talk a lot about excellence in education, which is, you know, one of our models and take lines. And we talk about that excellence, and normally we're talking about what's happening inside our buildings. And I think when we talk about facilities and specifically the facades of some of our buildings, more HVAC needs that haven't been met, and we've talked about that. I wanted to show some slides of some comparisons, and as we talk about getting new citizens to our community and when they have options within a small radius, that I believe that makes a big difference to people when they're making some selections. So I'm going to show you some comparisons here, and I want to be upfront with I wouldn't trade our staff for anybody's, and I do not set a goal to emulate. I'm going to show you some pictures of Hardin Valley Middle and Elementary here in a second, and then a couple of our buildings. So I wouldn't trade any of that for any of those districts or buildings, and our staff is amazing. But I do think we have some infrastructure things that we need to have addressed, and I'm going to show you a few pictures here this evening. So we've got some competition, and I believe it's okay to talk about that, and they're about 11 miles away. So we have a brand new Hardin Valley Middle School, and you can see just from a few pictures what that would look like to someone perhaps taking a tour of that building. And we've got Hardin Valley Elementary, some of the same looks that you would see, and again, not here tonight asking for brand new elementary or middle school buildings, but I think we do need to probably address some of the infrastructure problems we have. So again, another picture of Hardin Valley Elementary School. And then I know we've got Dr. Reniger here and Dr. Keyes Fairchild. I took some pictures, and these are not professional photos. This is Dr. Borchers with his iPhone. So I think it's fair because anybody can drive down the street and see these examples. And I think we've talked about at length what amazing instruction is happening inside these buildings, in all of our buildings. In particular, we're talking about Robertsville and Willowbrook tonight. But, you know, when you have, yes.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I was just going to say, on the picture on the left there, the building that has the RMS on it is an original building to Robertsville School. So that building, like this building, has been there since the 40s.
Actually, that building with the RMS on it was there before Oak Ridge was Oak Ridge, so it predates the 40s.
And I think that's case in point for, as you looked at those previous slides of Hardin Valley and those types of schools, again, 11 miles away, and to me, it's just incredibly unfortunate that we've allowed our facilities and facades to get to this point. I think obviously it can be corrected, but I think it's kind of a sobering comparison when you look at some of these pictures. So I'll continue, and this is inside the PE offices over there. I know it's hard to see there, but you're looking up at ceiling tiles gone, some rust, rainwater from the ceiling leaks that are happening. And then the day I happened, they invited me back there. This was last week. We've got some students in there changing shoes. And so they're around this environment and seeing this on a daily basis. And I think we can do better, and I think we should do better. We've talked a lot about this. Alan and I have talked about the street there, Robertsville Middle School. Again, just as people are shopping schools, shopping communities, to look at those two schools we've shared, we need some upkeep there and some paving. This is the back hallway on the right. Again, water damage, Alan, I'm assuming here, and trying to fix things the best we can. But if you put yourself in the place of a parent who walks in that entrance and that's their first impression, that's tough to come back from, despite all the wonderful things that are happening in that building. Heading over to Willowbrook then, and I talked with Sherry here just last week, and again, it's that first impression of some of these things. So as we remember the Hardin Valley Elementary pictures, and now we're making these comparisons, that's fairly tough thing to take. And then we've got a hole in the facade, Sherry, and we talked about the fact that we like squirrels, but this is actually a squirrel family's house that has made their home inside this beam or structure from the outside. You've got just tile missing inside a classroom. That's just the way it is. And the board, we take visits everywhere, and here's some peeling paint. So again, if you put yourself in the position of a parent shopping our district, shopping our schools, and this is their first impression, it's difficult for us to say we're about excellence, and these things are still occurring in our district. We talked about in our previous meetings our CIP and how that has dwindled over the years, and that we need to have these things come back somewhat so that we can start more preventative maintenance on our buildings. I know, Sherry, we talked about the leaky roof at Willowbrook. I think 2 years ago we were supposed to get that roof replaced, and that never happened. Those funds were not provided to do that. And I know we have an art teacher who had to have a projector replaced, and the leaky roof ruined that projector, and we really haven't been able to put that projector back, because I think the IT would say, well, until you get this fixed, why would we ruin another projector? And so things like that are real. It's happening right now. It's impacting instruction. And again, I just wanted to bring this back up tonight, because I think we need to address these things. They're not going away. They will worsen. And we're on this fix on failure mode instead of a preventative maintenance mode. And I think we can do better as a city and as a district. Again, to compound that, and we talked about this this year alone, and we expect that number to probably climb next year, but roughly spent $187,000 on fix on failure that could have gone to classroom reading specialists, things like that. And I think it's important to note, as I've talked with Pat this morning, our payment to the city for our current ESG projects is $287,000. And we have roughly $5 million in upgrades for that price. So we're spending about $200,000 just for one-time fixes, where if we had some more, another second phase of ESG, spend that same amount but get another large portion of our HVA fixed. So I think there's some choices that we have to make in the future, and I think continuing to partner with the city is crucial, but I think we desperately need to see more CIP funds in the district. So that's what I had there, and I know looking over at Alan, some of those things, the pictures you've saw, some of those are cosmetics, some of those things we can get after, but when we're doing fixes like this, when we're having to jump over here on fix on failure, we don't have enough staff to get to all of these things all the time. We don't have enough painting budget or painters to get to some of these things, but perhaps with more capital improvement dollars, we could get some of these things done. I know we could get some of these things done. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Keys. We just have the same budget process update, but I just wanted to remind us as we get back into the first reading tonight that it's critical that we start really talking about additional capital funds.
You know, putting it very simply, this saying, you can't judge a book by its cover, which if you look inside those buildings, you can't judge the quality of our education by the outside. But to get to the inside, sometimes you've got to open that book. And if you don't open it by what the cover presents to you, you never get to the point where you realize what the quality is there. A couple of questions. Where are we in discussion for a second phase with ESG?
Yeah, Alan, Mr. Lay, and I met with ESG probably about a month ago, I'm guessing, and they at this point are moving forward with putting together a phase two plan for district projects. So as soon as we receive that, we'll share that with the board about what that would look like, what that could encompass, and perhaps take care of some of the things you saw in those few pictures. But we have asked them to move forward and to present what a phase two project could look like. Again, that's not been a city initiative or discussion to this point, but we thought we'd at least put that plan together so it could be considered once we have it put together.
And you know, moving over to CIP, and you and I've kind of talked about this a little bit, but we've got to figure out a way to move past just having a conversation about this. We've got to figure out where we can take that conversation to an action plan.
Absolutely.
And we, and I think I've said this here at a board meeting, yes, we're concerned about our buildings, but we're also concerned about the buildings in our community as well. And that's why we've got to have a collective effort with the city to realize what those needs are. We've made a little indention with the roof at Robertsville, but that came from leftover money that was set aside for the preschool.
Absolutely.
So we've got to figure out a plan, and what I would like to encourage colleagues on the board to think what can we do as a board. I mean, we can speak when people in the community ask what's the greatest need of the Oak Ridge schools. This is one of them. We can relay that. Is it time for us to have a roundtable with city council to talk about this and to look at this and just lay these out on the table and say, what are we going to do? We don't want to get in a situation. We've gotten in situations, but particularly in a situation as we did at Woodland, where we and the city had to spend over $1 million to fix that building. And that's coming with our other buildings. There are no new buildings in our school district except the new one that's being built for the preschool. They're all old buildings. There's no longer a new Jefferson, as people still want to call it. We've got to figure out a way to do that. Mr. Stevens.
As we think about what you've just said, I would highly recommend bringing the Municipal Planning Commission on board with, and pretty much they are, so that you can act, first of all, as one unified team. Because one of the things that we clearly took away from the blueprint is the importance of the school system to every member of this Oak Ridge community. Hands down, no ifs, no ands, no buts about that. And the fact that we have a outstanding support system for education here in Oak Ridge. So to say it bluntly, to put your money where your mouth is bringing the Planning Commission, or at least these are my thoughts right off, in highly recommending to the council that all the schools be included in the CIP, so that you're not fixed on failure. You are looking at the entire infrastructure of all the city's primary and important buildings that must be maintained and upkept, that they are included in that process, so that we are not repeating what we have seen happening over the past few years. And the slide that you had about when the money dropped off, how long ago that was, and what has been the result, is quite obvious. That when you start taking money away from the upkeep of the educational infrastructure, you get the pictures that you were showing just a minute ago. We have an outstanding staff, outstanding teachers, and they deserve a lot better in terms of attention to the classrooms and those kinds of things, so that they can fully focus on the children and the educational process that we have said as a community is so very critical to Oak Ridge. So I think we're on the same sheet of paper, and I think we just need to roll the Planning Commission, given a work session with the Planning Commission, so that every member there fully understands how we got where we are and where you see a way out. And I think the work that Alan has done in identifying and also executing some of the smartest plans to get repairs, to get us at least a few steps in the right direction, is an outstanding example. And I think we need to exploit that by bringing the Planning Commission on board, so that when we go before the council, it's not just the board, it is also the commission and the board on the same sheet of paper, and going to the city council and saying, hey, it's not just the same folks telling you the same thing at the same way. We have we have a whole stack of inputs from the blueprint that speaks to the importance of education in this community. And so we will act on that. And we will clearly let the citizens know that we heard you loud and clear. And we've seen it in all the efforts that are done to take care of the teachers and to provide other programs. So now it's time to also say, okay, it's time for the city to get on board, and let's go ahead and have the infrastructure for the district included with the rest of the infrastructure for the city. There are no magic trees and pills and all those kinds of things. We know that. But let's have a comprehensive plan for upkeep that includes the school buildings, along with the city buildings that also are leaking and deteriorating right before our eyes.
Okay, I'll put my soapbox down now.
It was a great soapbox and a wonderful idea to include the Planning Commission in that step. So I would suggest that when we get through the budget and everything is completed, we take the next step and establish an opportunity to make this happen sooner than later. Other comments from the board in regard to any of the slides, those comments, or anything in the budget? Just another hand clap, Ms. Smith, for you. We asked a question at the board meeting about an item in the budget, and I think before I got home, I had an email explaining that. So thank you for the quickness on that explanation. Hearing no comments, then we have a motion on the floor for approval of this budget, the FY20 budget on first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Would remind you, you did see the slide there, but would remind you that we meet again on Monday, May the 20th. That is our regular scheduled board meeting, but also it is a time to approve the budget on second and final reading. If I remember from the agenda, that's the night we also will be recognizing retirees that night as well, so that'll be a very special night. Any other comments or questions from the board? Would like to give a shout out to Ms. Caroline Webb, who's operating a camera back there, one of the students in the TV program at the high school. I'm sure the camera focused mostly over on this side because of something. I think she wanted supper tonight, so she said she'd keep you on the camera. But thank you for being here, and thank you for doing that. And with that being said, we stand adjourned.